Hello, listeners. Today's episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. BetterHelp offers online therapy, which is something I have personally benefited from and believe in. We all have life stresses that can be overwhelming. For me, it has been a game changer to have an online therapist who helps me navigate and reflect on life. I have had to work on setting healthy boundaries and my tendency to internalize, well, everything. It is heavy business, but I can't tell you enough how freeing it is to work through it. And personally, I find it easier to be open while talking things through from the comfort of my couch. It's so convenient. Online therapy for me has really meant becoming a better version of myself. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/clink today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/clink.
Hi, and welcome to Housewives of True Crime.
Welcome.
Welcome.
I am Tabitha. Give me Dateline, white wine, and I'll pick up your kids in the carpool line.
The next day, right?
Yeah, the next day.
Okay. And I am Gretchen. I like white wine, true crime, and in bed by 9 because I have a lot of stuff to do in the morning.
We are Housewives of True Crime.
Yes, we are.
Yes, we are. Welcome.
Welcome.
Housewives of True Crime.
Hi.
In the hizzy.
Right.
Monday morning live. Not really. It's not live.
Right.
And it's not even Monday morning for me.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, no.
But I will tell you, I have some stories to tell you.
You do? Okay.
I do.
Let's see if they're more exciting than mine.
You have a good one?
My life is not exciting.
Oh. Well, sometimes it is.
Okay.
Okay. So Gretchen knows the story, but I have to tell you guys because it was a weird one. So I got a box the other day in the mail of clothes. You know, I do those delivery things, which, by the way, I'm going to cut all of those deliveries out of my life because I'm just wasting money on it.
Yeah.
Except for
Ipsy. Ipsy's good.
So I'm going to also cut. I'm going to slow the roll on it. I just have too much serum. I can't even use.
I reduced it to every other month.
Okay. I've got to do that. And the clothes one, I just feel like I have enough jean shorts. I don't need another pair of jean shorts. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah.
So anyways, I was like, this is the last box I'm going to get. I didn't even open it for days because I just, you know, I'm over it. And when I did open it, I see the clothes sitting there and a Apple phone. Like a cell phone.
In the box.
In the box. I called Gretchen right away and I was like, listen, it's not on. Obviously, this box has been sitting here for a week. But do you think it's a bomb? I mean, don't plug it in.
Yeah, nope.
Gretchen's like, do not plug it in. And so I wait till Sean gets home and I'm like, look what just came in this box. And by the way, the box had looked like it had been open and then re-wrapped with other tape, not the tape that has the logo of this company on it. So that was sus in the first place, right?
Well, was everything that you subscribed to like in there?
Yes.
Did they just decide that all your choices were too ugly to steal? Like what happened?
It didn't even look like because they come kind of wrapped in this paper with a little sticker. So it didn't even look like they tampered with that. So it's like, then I'm thinking, oh, this is a phone that belonged to a murderer.
Yeah.
Or it's a dead person's phone or a murdered, you know, like my mind is going everywhere.
Well, we'll never know because Apple won't do shit.
Well, I plugged the phone in.
Oh.
When I found, my husband said, there's not a bomb in the phone. And then I thought, okay, I mean, There's probably not.
Then there's a recording device. Now they...
I know. I actually did think of that. That could be possible for sure. But the phone is wiped. It is like brand spanking new. There's nothing on it. It like when I plugged in, it's like, welcome to Apple. Do you speak English or Chinese? You know?
So they stole the phone and then they were about to get caught. And so they threw it in your package.
You think?
It's possible.
Yeah. So I would like to know if anybody has any advice. I did think about taking it to Apple, but I don't know
what
they're going to do.
And but I think you should call this company and tell them you found a phone in your package.
I thought they were going to tell me it was gift with purchase since they were trying to save the customer.
Well, just so they know, just in case. What if it is a piece of a puzzle?
Oh, well, true. Yeah, I will do that. Another thing, Gretchen was on the phone with me mm-hmm. when I got pulled over. Oh my God. Again.
Yeah.
And I did not get a ticket, just to let you know.
Yeah, of course not. What pisses me off is that when I get pulled over, I'm like, oh, like, I mean, diarrhea, panic, cold sweats. Tab is like, what in the hell? Why would they be pulling me over? Damn it, I'll call you back.
That's true. I rolled down my window and I like stuck my head all the way out. And I was like, why are you here? I'm like, what did I do?
Tell them what you did, Tab.
No, I'm not telling them what I did, but
guilty.
I will tell
That's
you.
What I'll tell you what. She's guilty.
I didn't know I was guilty. My husband is the one that's guilty, actually. But he was really nice. And he was like, well, in Texas, ma'am. I was like, how did you know that I'm not from Texas? I did not.
You think? Because you rolled down the window and said, what are you doing here? They're like, I know that attitude.
No.
That's not a morning, officer.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. That's a Californian.
Sir, you know, he did not know I was a Californian or I would have probably gotten a ticket for sure. He just knew I was not from around here. Maybe Arizona, you know, somewhere else. But California, I mean, they're putting up billboards. Do not come if you're from California.
Listen, in Colorado, they're putting do not come if you're from Texas.
Oh, I'm sure of it, by the way. It's fine. It's fine.
Can't we all just get along?
I get along with everybody. I'm like, more the merrier everywhere in my life. You want to come from California? You want to come from Louisiana? You want to come from Nashville? You want to come from freaking wherever? I don't care.
Right? Well, you know, it has been a kind of an exciting week around here. My daughter Ruby lost 4 teeth.
Whoa, that's a lot. And one.
And they're all molars, dude. I don't even know how she's chewing.
Oh.
My dentist told me last time I went, like, we're not going to bother with braces because get ready. All your kids are going to lose all their teeth.
Okay. So that's a lot sooner than my kiddos. But Kyla just lost, I think, her last molar. And the molars are crazy. They don't wiggle.
No, it's blood, savage craziness. Okay. So she lucked out. Well, first of all, the first time, I'm like, it's just a molar left her a dollar. There was some tears. She was like, that's it? I'm like, that's standard, right? So then the next time she dropped, oh, I guess, you know, she's lost 5 teeth. Actually, and my husband said 6, but I think it's 5. Because okay. Then the next time she lost 2, okay? So then I was like, okay, let's lift her spirits, leave her $5, okay?
Mm-hmm.
That made her happy. Well, then she lost another one. And I'm like, oh my God, this is like, if I leave her, I couldn't even think about what to do. Cause it's like, if I leave her a dollar, she's going to be pissed. What am I going to do? Leave her 5 again. You know,
you spray the dollar with glitter. That's what I did.
I did all that shit when they were little. I mean, it's like, okay. I'm tired. Anyways. So I made my husband deal with it. I was like, you know what? You figure it out. So you know what he did? He went into our giant coin jar, right? I know everybody's got one.
Yes,
we've got one. Yes, and it has coins from all over the world. Turns out it has some car wash tokens.
Right.
And he just dumped a bunch on a plate.
And did it make her day?
She could not have been happier. She's like, you know what? Good. And the tooth fairy left me car wash tokens because she knows how much I want to go to the car wash, because that is something my kids ask me to do regularly. They want to drive through the car wash. They'd like rather do that than Chuck E. Cheese.
Okay.
I don't know. It's weird.
Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah. Okay. So then she lost another one. And I said, and seriously, I'm not exaggerating. This is all like this week. I'm like, do what you do with the coins. I'm out. I'm done. I'm my tooth fairy-ness retired. So he did it again. She's fine. And guess what? He found the $5 bill that I left her. And he just put it out there with all the coins. She thought she got paid $5 on top of the coins again.
Oh, gosh. That's what I do at Target. Sometimes I buy them toys. And then I'll just keep the bag in my car. They never asked me for the toy. And so I'll just go take it back.
Right?
I'm like, they just wanted the satisfaction of getting something. Yeah.
Right? What are you going to do?
Yeah. Were you going to tell me what happened with the antifreeze?
Oh, would you all like to know? Okay. So last week on the podcast, I mentioned that while I was organizing my laundry room, I found antifreeze. Sus.
Very. To me, right? I think it's sus. Yes.
So naturally confronted my husband, told him, just so you know, I told Tabitha about the antifreeze, so don't plan on using that. Also, I told him, I talked about it on the podcast, so everybody knows, so you better change your plan. And they also said that I don't need antifreeze in California. So you're busted. And he said, yeah, I think the people that lived in the house before left it here.
Mm-hmm.
And get ready to hate my husband. He's like, who told you your car doesn't need antifreeze? A bunch of girls?
No, actually, a bunch of girls wrote us and told us that is what it's used for.
Yeah. So I was like, what's it to you? Okay. And he's like, yeah, you do need antifreeze. I'm like, well, I take my car to the dealership. They do all that, right?
Because you're fancy pants. The people before you weren't as fancy.
Yeah. So I'm like, you can get rid of that. And he's like, just throw it away. I'm like, you cannot just throw that away.
No,
Excuse me. Take it to the place with whatever you do. For all I know, all these batteries and old iPads and stuff, he's probably just dumping them. I don't know what kind of monster I married. With the antifreeze.
Let me tell you, sometimes people marry monsters, and I'm going to talk about one right now.
Okay, well, let's hear about it. Okay. It's got some stiff competition with Fred.
I don't know. Okay, well, Fred might have a little competition here.
Okay.
And speaking about Arizona, that's where I'm going to take you. Just outside of Phoenix in the Scottsdale area. You know where that is? It's a like really nice area over there.
It really is.
This place is called, you know what? I'm going to call it Avondale, but maybe it's Avondale. Have you heard of that part?
Nope.
Avondale, Arizona. Also, it's the second case I've done in a few months coming out of Arizona.
You like it hot.
I do. And I think that maybe some people don't like it hot, so it gets them like agitated. You know, also, you know what's hot right now, or was hot like last week? Like London was, I don't know, 104, something crazy.
Oh, shoot. My next case is in the UK.
No shit. It is?
Listeners suggested.
Yes. Oh, good. I'm glad that you're doing one from
across
over the pond.
Yeah.
Jinx. Okay. Avondale is not small. It's about 89,000 people as of 2020, which is up from 70,000 in 2010. So it's definitely a growing city.
Okay.
The homes all cost about the same, anywhere from like the 400s to mid $500,000. And they're typical Arizona homes. If you guys are familiar with Arizona, they're between like 1,500 and 3,500 square feet. Really nice family homes, but nothing crazy. No like mansions or anything. Just a nice little town. So this story comes out of Arizona, or it ends in Arizona, but it didn't start in Arizona. So I'm not going to go like telling you all about every single place. Just going to give you the Arizona stats for now. It started with a Karen. Karen Mintz. She started her life as one of six children back in 1964 in a small town in Illinois. She grew up on a farm. She loved animals. And being the youngest of six, I'm thinking she didn't get a lot of attention. I'm saying this because when Karen was in high school, she was one of those girls that liked to date guys that treated her pretty bad. And what people say is she liked the bad boy. Listen, I like the bad boy too.
Yeah, you do.
And Gretchen, I'm pretty sure you also in high school and a little beyond like the bad boy as well.
Word. But I've changed my ways.
Oh, shoot. I mean, Sean is anything but a bad boy. By
oh,
the
no.
way.
Goody two shoes. We married.
This.
But.
What?
I was just going to say, but Tab's clinging to her roots because she likes this guy on Blackbird. That's a criminal.
I do. I am obsessed with him. But my husband, I just found out, only drank, I think, two beers when he was in high school.
Shut up.
I just found out this weekend. I was like, no way. It's like, no, the first time I actually drank was in college. Like, okay, oh, we definitely came from much different
yeah, much different scenes.
And how did it take me 20 years to know this?
I know.
It's probably a good thing.
Yeah.
Anyways, shortly after high school, Karen, she hightailed it out of this little tiny town and she got herself to Oklahoma because she wanted to break up with some guy and find herself some more stability, which is probably a good thing. So she got married real quickly and popped out two kiddos in her early 20s, two little girls. But Karen wasn't married too long. I mean, long enough, 6 years. So I think that's
a fair shake.
She didn't make it to the 7-year itch, or maybe she did, and that's what kind of like threw her over. But anyways, the girls were real young when she divorced, and from Oklahoma, she moved to Texas, where she married again, and this marriage lasted 3 years. And from there, she made her way to Arkansas. And like we know, you guys, Texas, Arkansas, Louisiana, it's all kind of right there. Oklahoma.
Right. Tab's been improving her geography since we started the podcast.
100%. It's so true. I mean, I knew the West Coast. Didn't know
the West Coast
South.
Is like three states. Yeah. Okay.
I'm learning. I'm still going to school. Really. Anyways, so she goes to Arkansas, and this is where she would marry a third time to a guy named Bob, which is what I just named my iRobot. What is it? The Roku? What is the thing? That thing that vacuums
Roomba. Your Roomba.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Tabitha's other crush.
I did. It's my crush. I got one on Prime Day. You know that Amazon Prime Day where it had like, it was half off or something.
She's
and
like,
so,
let me tell you, this Bob does not mess around. He knows how I like it.
My kids named it Bob. It's still learning. Gets stuck sometimes. It's not the best, but it's still better than nothing. Anyways, okay. So she marries Bob, and she actually married Bob because she got pregnant. And Bob was not into having a wife and three kids. Bob was like, I just wanted some action with a girl that liked horses, and I didn't know I was going to be like a dad of three within a year. Because, you know, she had the two other girls.
Right.
So
I'm surprised that she felt the need to get married, because you would think that after like your third shake and you've already got all these kids, it's like the jig is up.
Right.
Whatever.
I agree with you. So they divorced real soon. And now she's got three kids. She's 30 years old and three failed marriages. It's not. I would think it would be hard to find love at this point in life.
Yeah, she's probably still hot, 30.
Well, I think you're right. So, Karen, I think she felt like at this point she needed to really get her life together. She needed a job that's worth doing, not just these, like, she worked at the grocery store, she worked here and there. She didn't really hold down a job consistently. And so she decided she was going to be a travel agent. And this was in the 90s, when I feel like travel agents were the thing.
They were cool.
You didn't really know what to do. There was no internet that you're going to go look and see where you're going to stay in Greece. You had to go to a travel agent to help you figure out like what you were going to do and plan your dream vacation. And so she went to travel agent school, which there was a thing. I'm not sure if there's still a thing, but maybe there is. And like you said, Karen was super pretty. She was very social. So I could see how this job was perfect for her. You have heard me talk about my language learning skills with Rosetta Stone, and I'm telling you, I'm getting really good at it. I learned a little bit of Japanese before we went to Japan last year, and I really love the French language, so I'm learning French at the moment. Bonjour, bonsoir. I'm even getting a little bit of the accent down. Not very good, but I'm getting there. And with Rosetta Stone, it makes it so easy. I download it on my phone. I learn it in the car. It is awesome. You can do it on your desktop, wherever you find it convenient. They are there for you. And they have 25 languages, you guys, that you can use. And right now they are giving a lifetime membership for 50% off. So you can learn as many languages as you want for your entire life, which is amazing. And the best part is, it starts off, you know, with just words and then phrases and then sentences, and then you should be able to have a conversation with somebody that also knows the language, which is, you know, my entire goal. So don't put off learning that language. There is no better time than right now. Seriously, get started before your summer vacay. Our listeners get 50% off the lifetime membership. That's 50% off, unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem it today at rosettastone.com/today.
Listeners, did you know that an estimated 5 billion plastic hand soap and cleaning bottles are thrown away each year? And if that's not bad enough, most cleaning formulas are 90% water, which is heavy to ship, leading to excessive carbon emissions. Plus, those products are often filled with nasty ingredients like chlorine and ammonia. That's a lose-lose situation for you and the planet. Nobody's trying to have that. Enter Blue Land. Blue Land is on a mission to eliminate single-use plastic by reinventing cleaning essentials to be better for you and the planet with the same powerful clean you're used to. The idea is simple. They offer refillable cleaning products with a beautiful cohesive design that looks great on your counter. Fill your reusable bottles with water, drop in the tablets, and wait for them to dissolve. Genius! You'll never have to grab bulky cleaning supplies on your grocery run again. Refills start at just $2.25. Blue Land is trusted in over 1 million homes, including mine, y'all. When I received my first shipment of Blue Land, I was blown away by how this simple concept just makes so much sense. It's so easy. You just drop the tablet into the stylish functional bottles and get your clean on. I love the subscription option because I am not trying to get one more bulky item in my cart. Blue Land products really get the job done and leave my home smelling so fresh and clean. Blue Land has a special offer for our listeners. Right now, get 15% off your first order by going to blueland.com/clink. You won't want to miss this, guys. blueland.com/clink for 15% off.
One day in class at the travel agent school, she met another man that would become Karen's fourth husband.
You know, Karen should teach a class. That's what she should have done. There are
on how to get a man.
How to get a man, how to rope him in. I mean, she might not know how to keep him, but she knows how to bring him in.
Seriously?
I know a lot of friends that could use help with that.
I know. I mean, seriously, I do not know how she did it. But this guy, his name was Paul Thompson. Paul, he was shy. He was younger than Karen by a lot, like 6 or 7 years younger than Karen. And so Karen's probably like 33 at the time. And Paul, early to mid 20s. And Paul, like, he was young. However, Paul was in the military before. So I think he was a more experienced guy, if you know what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. When he was in the military also, he was stationed overseas. So he was like in Germany and England or something like that. So I just think he had some life experience even being in his early 20s. And Paul liked Karen. She was spunky and fun. And although she had a lot of baggage, Paul really didn't mind. These two jumped right into living together just 1 month after her divorce from Bob. And it felt real good. They seem to have one big happy family. And when the travel agent gig wasn't as lucrative for Paul, because, by the way, did you remember I said Paul was shy and kind of like quiet? I don't think that's like the perfect job for that kind of person.
Not so much.
So Paul's brother calls him up one day and says, hey, I've got a gig at the telephone company. It's real stable employment and it's in Arizona and you guys could have a real nice life out here. And so the two said, yes, we will do it. And they moved to Arizona. At this point, they weren't married. They actually ended up not getting married for a few years, but after a couple years, they did say their I do's at a hotel in Arizona. Fancy pants, by the way. I was like, oh.
Ooh.
This time you like even had a wedding? It's like crazy to me after so many marriages, but what to do?
Well, maybe, you know, some people feel some kind of way about that. Like, I know someone who might feel they got a little screwed out of their first wedding.
Uh-huh.
And maybe they wouldn't mind having a celebration.
Well, I mean,
later down the line.
Okay. Sure. Maybe she felt like that. But I mean, it was like, how many times do you have to be married to finally get your celebration? I don't know. No judgment. If you want to wear a white dress 5 times, fine.
Look at J-Lo.
Seriously, right?
Right? Yeah.
So Paul really took to the stepdad thing. He liked it. He liked having the kids. He liked the traditional family activities, you know, going to games, PTO meetings, whatever it was. However, on October 23rd, 2001, Paul is out doing his thing at his work, and he did not come home. And Karen, like any wife, when her husband doesn't come home, she got worried. I mean, I probably would have been more pissed than worried.
Yeah.
Just saying. But I think Paul always came home, so the worry started immediately. She called the police to report Paul missing. And when a man doesn't come home from work, police don't really do much about it. Right? It's like, okay.
Imagine that. Well, yeah.
I'm sure he's at the bar, Karen.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, Paul was not at the bar. Paul's truck was found actually shortly after he was reported missing in the middle of the desert. This guy said he was driving by a couple times and he noticed the headlights on the car were on, or on Paul's truck were on, and the door was open. He said he was taking his girlfriend home and the car was on and the door was open. He thought that was a little sus in the middle of the desert. And when he was on his way back, still hadn't changed. So he pulled over to see if there was anything he could do, which, by the way, I don't recommend that.
Yeah.
My first thought, and I have been in this situation in the middle of an Arizona desert. When I see a car on the side of the road, I think they're hiding a body.
Well, yeah.
But I also am a little extra. Or I think they're doing something not... I think they're doing something sus.
Yeah.
This person is better than me pulling over to help.
Yeah, that is nice. I've just not really acclimated to the hotness. And, you know, I just went to Palm Springs a couple weekends ago.
Yeah.
I get a little anxiety on the drive home because I'm afraid if I stop, like, it's going to get so hot, my car's not going to start again.
Okay, so funny. I went to
Waco. Then we're all going to die.
I went to Waco yesterday and it is hot as F. And I dressed, like, very cute because my girlfriend and I were going to go have dinner with heels. I wore heels. I thought to myself, if I break down, it's 103 degrees outside and I am not going to be able to walk in these heels. So I put flip-flops in my car just in case, you know, anything happened and I had to walk somewhere, God forbid. But yes, you would die if you get stuck out there in the middle of the desert. It's October 23rd, so it's probably cooled down a little bit, but yeah.
Still hot in October.
It is, but it's
that
not
was very smart 115. Of you with the flip-flops.
Yeah. So anyways, this guy, he decides he's going to report this car. So he calls the police and he says, you know, here's this license plate and here's this car in the middle of the desert. And it looks like nobody's here. It just looks like somebody just opened their door and vanished. So the police go, they pull up the license plate and they see it belongs to Paul. So they call Karen and they say, we found your car or your husband's car. And this is where it was. So naturally, Paul's friends and family are spooked. And they start looking all over that desert for any kind of clue or Paul or something. Anything to point them in the right direction. But they did not see anything. They could not find Paul. They could not find, I mean, even like footprints or something, you know?
Yeah.
But that's because Paul was actually an hour away, lying in another remote desert area where some guys on their ATV found him as they drove over him.
Ooh.
Accidentally. So those guys, they call 911 and, you know, report this deceased man in the middle of this desert. When police arrive, they notice that Paul had been beaten, stabbed, and shot, and then thrown onto this ATV trail, which I find is a little odd. I guess it was a pretty popular trail for people that rode these ATVs. So I don't know if it was just easy access for somebody to like drop his body there, but I would have thought that
it's a big desert, man. There's a lot of other places to dump somebody.
That's what I think. Like,
yeah.
So there's no identification on Paul. Police do not know who this guy is at the moment. And it's in a different kind of, it's an hour away. So it's not even in the same city. But they do pull up any missing persons reports in the area. And they do find that, you know, that it's most likely Paul. So police show up to Karen's house to say, hey, you know, we think we have some clues onto Paul, like about Paul. Can you give us any identifying information? And she says he's wearing this ring, which is their wedding ring. And it's confirmed that that is Paul. They finally tell Karen that he has died and where they found him. And Karen, as you can imagine, was really distraught. And they want to know who are Paul's enemies.
Right. It sounds, because it's so extra with the shooting and the stabbing and the beating. Like, does he have a gambling problem? What's happened?
Yeah, that's a good question, actually. And remember, we found, like, that last episode that we did said that if it's both, like, shooting and stabbing, 90% of the time it's, like, two people, not just one person.
Right.
And like you said, it's not just a, like, shoot them and take their cash kind of situation.
Yeah.
So Karen tells police that her and Paul were great. He was super loyal to her. And according to the Snapped episode that I watched, where I got a lot of this information, along with some newspaper articles, Karen claimed that there was no way he was having an affair because he was too boring. Well, shit, Karen. He was in his 20s when you threw him into, like, a 40-something role. So listen, what did you want?
Those boring ones are the ones that appear as boring are the ones that get their freak on.
I fully believe that. I should not even admit this, but sometimes I look at these, like, most boring people, like couples, and I think to myself, like, you two are the ones that have that, like, crazy put on the wigs kind of shit going down.
That's
in the
right
bedroom.
They got the dungeons. Yeah. Yep.
Okay. So police, they ask her where she was when, you know, this magical night that Paul went missing. And she says, well, I was having dinner with a friend, a male friend, but Paul knew about him. She claimed that this friend was a man, but Paul was cool because they were able to have other friends and it wasn't sexual. I mean, if I was having dinner with my new friend, Mike, while Sean was at work, I'm pretty sure he would be pretty pissed about that. But maybe, I don't know.
Yeah, who's watching the kids? Like, you hire a babysitter so you can go out with that dude?
Yeah, right.
My husband would be okay if I hired a babysitter while he was at work to go out with the girlfriend.
Yes,
like,
yes.
A guy friend. And my husband, we have guy friends that my husband wouldn't care if I, maybe not dinner, maybe lunch, but no babysitter. If there's babysitter involved, nope.
Listen, I do have a friend that I would go to dinner with, but he is an old friend and my husband knows him very well. Not a new friend. New guy friend, probably not going to happen.
I know this friend and I still don't think you'd hire a babysitter to go to dinner with him.
No, I don't think so. No. I'm pretty sure I can barely hire a babysitter to go on, like, a girl's night. So
yeah,
no, not hiring a babysitter.
Okay, let's talk about the big O, listeners. Obesity. 4 in 10 Americans struggle with it, so there should be no shame in the weight game. R.O. Row provides access to the most popular weight loss shots on the market. Row Body Program members have support throughout the process. Row helps handle all of the insurance paperwork to help get the medication covered. If eligible for medication, patients have access to their provider on demand for any questions. You can sign up from the comfort of your own home. Average weight loss is 15 to 20% in 1 year with healthy lifestyle changes. BMI and other eligibility criteria apply. Go to ro.co/clink. Sign up today and you'll pay just $99 for your first month and $145 a month after that. Medication costs are separate. That's ro.co/clink.
With Mother's Day around the corner, are you thinking about a truly special gift for your mom? Well, let me tell you, mylifeinabook.com is a very unique service. I did it for my mom and my grandmother, and it has been amazing. It basically turns your mom's life stories or your grandmother's or anybody that you think is special in your life into a book.
So here's how it works. Every week, mylifeinabook.com will send a question via email to the special person, whoever you choose. You can ask custom questions too, but I just kind of let My Life in a Book choose what questions to ask. And then your special person, like your mom, can type their response or they can record their voice. And My Life in a Book compiles it all in a beautiful keepsake for you. And guess what? They can even create audiobooks. I mean, this is such a unique gift that will last a lifetime for you, your mom, your children, your children's children. It is the best gift you can give. Check out mylifeinabook.com and use our code CLINK at checkout for 10% off. This is an unforgettable gift for you and your mom. Get it today. Use our code CLINK, mylifeinabook.com. Police also start questioning Paul's coworkers, and it seemed like Paul was actually complaining about Karen recently. He was suspecting that she was cheating on him. I wonder why. Another thing that one of his coworkers said that was suspicious was at lunch one day, just a few weeks back, Paul was eating a tuna fish sandwich when a drop of mercury came out of the sandwich, like dripped out.
Oh, shoot.
Thankfully, Paul did not eat the rest of the sandwich or any of the mercury, and he called the tuna company to complain about there being contamination in his tuna fish sandwich. I guess he never actually talked to somebody. The coworker said he sat on hold too long and he was like, fuck it, whatever. However, now that he is dead in the desert, this mercury situation seems a little bit more suspicious. And that's what I'm telling you, Gretchy. The mercury is kind of like antifreeze.
Okay, well, it's interesting. I actually, when I was a kid, I found mercury. Like
in
a
your
bunch
garage?
No, I found it in the street. Like I lived in a cul-de-sac. It actually made the local newspaper.
No way.
I was quoted and everything. And my quote was like, I found it. But it's so it's crazy. So I can picture that.
Was it in a vial?
No, it was just, it's like little bubbles of silver liquid.
Did you touch
it? It sticks together. Yeah, I probably fucking played with it. I was not smart.
Okay, so I remember having like some friends' dads that had it in like vials and then like dripping it so you could see that it just like bubbles up. And like,
yeah.
I mean, that shit is really toxic.
Dude.
It's super bad.
Oh, yeah. They had hazmat come to the cul-de-sac and everything.
Oh, my gosh. Yes. Like, what the hell? Like, where the heck did we grow up, man? What's wrong with us? Okay. So this is real sus, right? And who's making his tuna sandwiches? I'm pretty sure it was Karen's making the sandwiches.
But tuna's supposed to be high in mercury.
That's why he wanted to call the company. But
it's not that kind of mercury.
I don't think it's like that. I don't think there's actually like drops of poisonous mercury in the tuna. It just has it inside its flesh.
Right.
After this, they're like, okay, we're on to you, Karen. But they don't, you know, they don't have enough evidence. So they quickly get a warrant to search Karen and Paul's home. And they show up to raid the house. And when they get there, they find a couple things. They find Karen has a credit card statement of more than $50,000 in debt.
Shoot.
They also find a couple life insurance policies that she had taken out on Paul pretty recent that totaled up to over $600,000.
Hot damn, that'd pay off that house and the debt.
And in a vase in the master bedroom next to the nightstand or sitting on the nightstand was a little vial of mercury.
Oh, Karen, you gotta get rid of the evidence, girlfriend.
I mean, why would you keep that shit?
For the next husband? You got $600,000. I think you can afford it.
Or the next time, like when the like beating and shooting didn't, like, actually kill him.
Shoot.
So police arrest Karen, and she says, okay, well, maybe I wasn't totally honest with you. And actually, Steve maybe is more than a friend. And you know what? There was a time period when I was that night when Steve, he wasn't with me. And Steve was real in love with me. So in love with me that I think Steve might have actually gone and killed Paul.
Okay. Right.
So police, of course, quickly find out who her friend Steve was, and they put a search out on Steve's house. Steve was there, so they questioned Steve, and Steve says that, yeah, Karen was his side chick, and he was going through a divorce as well as Karen, so they had lots of divorce experience to talk about. You know, Karen could tell him all about it. And Steve then tells the investigators that they did go to dinner, and he went home. After he was home, Karen showed back up at his house in Paul's truck in a frenzy. She said she needed help abandoning Paul's truck. Steve, being a good boyfriend, does what Karen says and helps abandon the truck. And he takes all of Paul's stuff, his computer, his wallet, his ID, and a gun that Karen had. Karen told Steve that her and Paul were in the desert late that night and they got in a fight and she killed Paul in self-defense. Steve says that he threw the computer over an overpass, burned the ID along with some of Karen's clothes, and then threw the gun in a lake.
And he just spills this all to the police. He doesn't say, like, maybe I need a lawyer.
He doesn't.
Damn it.
So police are like, okay, all right, this story actually sounds pretty legit, right?
Well, yeah.
So they go back to Karen and they arrest her for first degree murder. And of course, Karen comes back and says, actually, it was Steve that killed Paul and he's framing me. And honestly, Gretchy, there is no evidence that Karen was the one. Nothing actually linked Karen to the crime scene.
Okay.
The detectives did find the laptop thrown over the overpass that Steve told them about, and they could never find the gun he burned all the rest of the stuff. So the prosecutors just didn't think that they had enough to convict Karen of first degree murder. So they let Karen out of prison. When she was out of prison, she hightailed it out of Arizona and found herself in Missouri, where Karen would find another sucker to marry.
I'm telling you, Karen, you're missing your calling.
Seriously. She gets married again and now becomes Karen Sanchez.
I just want to know, is she following the rules? It, like, you know, like the Steve Harvey rules, is she like waiting 90 days before she gives up the cookie, or is she putting out right away? What are you doing, Karen?
I don't know what, I'm sure Karen's putting it out, which wouldn't make sense why the guys would marry her, but maybe she's telling them that she's got a pocket full of money in the bank or something, you know, like there's got to be a reason. Not to say that, like, people just marry for money, but, I mean, what is it?
And that sounds, like, pretty antiquated for us to, like, be saying, like, oh, well, why would they marry? You know, why buy the cow when you get the milk for free? I mean, we're just saying.
Come on. Give us a break.
Yeah.
So when Karen's in Missouri, she wanted to see her son, who obviously was taken away from her when she got arrested the first time for murder.
That'll
he
do
was
it.
Given back to Bob. Remember that husband?
Oh, yeah.
The Bob. So Bob has the little boy who, by the way, you got to think, Karen lived in Arizona. Bob, I don't know where he was living at the time, but remember he was like living in Arkansas when they had this little boy. So I don't think that the little boy had a lot of time with his dad. So he was missing his mom. And this guy was like, yeah, let's meet up. He would really like to see you.
Sure.
And so they meet up at a McDonald's. And when Karen gets there with a new husband, she's there with two guys and her daughter and the son. And right away, these two guys mace the Bob and grab the kid and run. Like,
what?
Yes, they try to kidnap him, or they do kidnap him.
The kid.
And so the kid, yes, they mace the ex-husband twice and get the kid. So he calls the police right away, and they end up finding her ways away, but they end up finding Karen and getting the kid. And she's not arrested because at this point, they don't know who has custody of her because they gave custody to the dad, but then she got out of jail. And so it was kind of all up in the air. So they didn't, and it was cross state lines. So she ended up not actually even serving any time for this kidnapping.
Wow.
But then in May of the next year, they decided they're going to arrest Karen again. This time after they made a deal with Steve. And this is what you were talking about in the beginning. Like, why didn't Steve make a deal in the first place?
Yeah.
So Steve said that he would testify against her if he could get little to no time for his part in the crime. And he did tell his story again. However, this time he got rid of the Karen killed Paul in self-defense and said Karen killed Paul because she didn't want to go through another divorce and she wanted the money and get out of debt, which is most likely the case. Investigators also found by this time that she had tried to hire a couple of hitmen to kill Paul, and they were ready to go for blood with Karen. They were going to go for the death penalty. And then right before her trial, they went in to make a plea deal. And they said, plead guilty to, I think it was second degree murder and a flat 20 years in prison. And guess what?
What?
She took it.
That was smart, Karen.
It was smart. Steve got 18 months probation for his part in the crime. And guess what else?
What?
As of May this year, 2022, Karen was released from prison.
Oh.
She is on, right now, she's on a supervised release, which I think means, I was trying to look it up. I think it's kind of like a halfway house or something like that. They do it in Arizona and they probably do it in other places, but they do it before full release so that people can kind of get back into society, which I actually think is a really good thing because some places just let you out of prison and they're like, good luck.
Yeah.
Okay.
I have a couple of thoughts. For one, I do understand $50,000 is a lot of debt and $600,000 is appealing, but there's also something called bankruptcy, Karen. You could have, that might've helped you out. Didn't need to go be killing anyone.
I know, right? Like, what brought her to that? And I really am like, girlfriend. That's what I'm saying. They were together for 6 years, seven years.
I mean, also, once
or no, they were married for that long.
Once you've been divorced twice, what is three or four? Fuck it. All right.
I know. So, I did look her up and I saw while she was in prison, she did have some violations.
Oh.
One for fighting, one for possession of a weapon, and then another for being in an unauthorized area. And she went from low security to moderate, and then she went back to low. And then at the end, she was in moderate security, which watching that Blackbird show, it's like, dude. Low security prisons all day long. Maximum security, forget about it.
Forget about it. Yeah.
And then it looked like every time she got in trouble is when she went, you know, from low to high. They like moved around.
So she's feisty.
She's feisty. Maybe that's what the guys liked. I don't know.
They like the crazy ones.
Yeah. So now she is going to be free. And I hopefully she has changed her ways and she'll become, you know, a productive citizen in society. Maybe she doesn't need to get married any longer, but she's not even that old. She's only in her mid-50s.
Somebody will marry her. Guarantee. Karen can rope she can rope one in. I don't think she's lost it. And somebody will marry her. Listen, somebody married Carla Homaka. Remember
that? Oh, God,
the Ken and Barbie killer. I'm not going to spoil my next case, but somebody married somebody. It happens.
I don't know how.
And I do think that this goes back to what we were talking about. You need to have something in common. Like, opposites don't attract.
I know. We just were saying that last week.
Because if you are bored with someone, you might think about killing them more frequently than if they're just regular annoying.
You're probably right. You're definitely right. I mean, I definitely think if you're recluse, marry recluse.
Right.
I do think that you can have one person more outgoing than the other, but you both have to kind of be outgoing.
Like to be social.
Yeah.
See. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. But that is a wrap of Karen. Well, I think she's going by Karen Sanchez now, or maybe she's not. If I was her, this Sanchez guy was only like a hot minute. So I would just go by something else. I would just start a new identity. Karen, just even drop the Karen. It's not a good name.
Karen
anymore.
It's not a good name. It's not working for you.
So drop that. Start over. Move to Nashville. Seems like a good place.
Get a good
I don't know.
One. I bet you meet a good 50-year-old dude in Nashville.
And is she going to tell him, or she just spent the last 20 years in prison for murdering her ex-husband?
She'll find the right one.
Okay. Maybe that's hot for some people. They're like, ooh, that's like a challenge and a half.
She seems to have the manipulation game down pretty good. I mean, she convinced these two kidnapper guys that they were in the right for trying to kidnap her. You know, kid, and she convinced the Steve guy that the Paul was abusive. So
it's true.
She's good.
All right. She will need to get some hair dye and, you know, go that route. Because, like I said, you know, she was like, we always say that in prison. It's rough, dude. It's rough. Anyways, you guys, thank you so much for listening. If you want more of us, we are on Patreon on Thursdays. patreon.com/housewivesoftruecrime. And if you listen on Apple, there is a way to connect it there. So it just shows up on your Apple feed. If you have not subscribed yet, please do so. So you get us on Mondays, right in your feed, wherever you guys listen to us on Spotify or Apple or wherever. And we also are on Facebook. We have a private group called Housewives of True Crime Group. Find us there. And we're on Instagram and we're trying to be more active. Although the summer is hard, man. It's like, you know, hard to do. Anyways, we will also be at
I do True need to Crime. Work on that. Sorry.
Oh, you suck at it, actually.
I know. I'm sorry. It's really hard in the summer.
We will be at the True Crime Podcast Festival in Dallas on the weekend of August 26th, if you guys are in the area. And we are trying to come up with a meet and greet. And so even if you don't go to the festival and you're in the Dallas area, we will give you the details on that shortly. So you can just meet us out at the bar and hang out with your best friends.
Can't wait.
Yep. And I think that's it for today. Tell your friends about us. We would appreciate it. We would love to chat with them too. Clink, clink.
Clink, clink.